From the heart of rural France, this is the Keto Woman podcast, brought to you by me. Hello, keto lovelies. I'm Daisy Brackenhall, and I've spent most of my life struggling with my weight and confidence, and have always had a difficult relationship with food. Even when I finally got to my target weight after weight loss surgery and eating low carb, I couldn't maintain it and I was miserable. I've been keto now for over 2 years and it has given me the freedom to fall in love with food again without the constant gain, loss, guilt, virtue cycle of before. Health and happiness is where it's at now, running on fat. Welcome to the Keto Woman podcast. Each week I'll be chatting to inspirational women, maybe even the odd man, to discover the secrets to their success so that I can share them with you. So what is keto? Keto is a way of eating that enables you to switch your body's main fuel source from sugar to fat. Who doesn't want to be a fat burner, right? But how do we achieve this? A great place to start is by keeping carbs under 20 grams a day. So things like leafy greens and above ground vegetables, plus some nuts and seeds and the incidental carbs you find in things like full fat dairy. Choose delicious fatty proteins and be free and easy with oily dressings on salad and butter on your veggies. Once you're in the swing of things, you can tweak it to suit you. Make your own personalized keto. You'll hear all sorts of ways to keto from my guests. There is no one way to do keto, no one size fits all. I hope to show you just how flexible and fabulous this way of eating can be. I'm not a doctor, and most of my guests won't be either, so we really can't give you medical advice. It's always best to consult your own doctor when making big changes to your diet and lifestyle, because they know you and your medical history, and so have access to the bigger picture. Wouldn't it be helpful to have one place where you could find all the links? Want to sign up to my new Patreon-exclusive Facebook group, Daisy's Lovelies? No problem. How about subscribing to my YouTube channel? Please help me notch up my first 1,000 subscribers by going to links.ketowomanpodcast.com and following the YouTube link. Not following me on Instagram yet? Hit the Instagram button. You get the idea. All the buttons, all the links you need are at links.ketowomanpodcast.com. Thanks for tuning in to episode number 129 for the second part of my chat with Valeria Giordano. Valeria is a 42-year-old Italian who lives with her husband and 8 cats. She is a language teacher at school and university and a professional audiovisual translator. She has just resumed her long-suspended PhD studies after a serious medical condition. Becoming disabled herself, she started independent research in media accessibility and teaching language and translation online by modular distance learning. She talks about her long struggle with ovarian cancer and lipedema, which led to morbid obesity and mobility issues, and the difficulties connected with the current situation with coronavirus. What a difference a couple of weeks makes. I recorded this about 2 weeks ago when Italy was the worst impacted country by COVID-19. First Spain passed them, and then of course the USA just blew everyone out of the water. Of course there's a reason for that. The population of the US is vast, but still, the numbers are shocking. I check in on the stats every day with Worldometers, and I wanted to read something to you from the updates on Italy's page. It is from the 4th of April, so a week ago. The number of patients hospitalised in intensive care has declined for the first time since the beginning of the epidemic in Italy. The target of bringing down the reproductive number, RO, to 1 has been reached. Now the goal is to bring it below 1. Earlier in the epidemic, it was as high as 3. This value represents the average number of people to which a single infected person will transmit the virus. An epidemic with a reproductive number below 1 will gradually disappear. An estimated 30,000 lives have been saved as an effect of the lockdown measures. This is according to ISS, the health institute in Italy. I'm not going to attempt to butcher the name in Italian. I took some heart in this, as we are all following in Italy's footsteps and hopefully even have gained some time because we acted a bit earlier. It's different everywhere, of course, I know. Here in France, things are yet to really start levelling out, but I'm hopeful they will soon. Please take good care wherever you are in this crazy world. Stay home if you can. Stay safe. Stay kind, like I know you all are. Much love to you. presumably is where you found out about keto. You did mention it there in the online groups and the Facebook groups.
Yes.
And some of those are ketogenic specific. Is that when you first heard the term and first started looking into it for yourself as a way of eating?
Yes, because my doctors were not keen on putting me on keto. My very first approach to keto was a self-made approach, because I just was reading this, but I couldn't know if it was good for you, because I used to be a vegetarian. So a vegetarian person and keto are two worlds that are very, it's so hard to stay in the same place.
It's definitely harder. I think vegetarian actually is very doable, as long as you eat dairy. If you don't eat dairy, it becomes more difficult. A vegan gets extremely difficult. Yeah. It's certainly not impossible. I know people who do it, but yes, it just becomes more and more and more difficult. So yes, it's certainly a lot easier if you eat all the things.
If you eat dairy for lipedema, it's not good.
I had a feeling that might be one of the things that was on the list of...
Yes, it boosts inflammation. Mm. So I believe, and that is a personal opinion because I'm not a doctor, I'm not a nutritionist, and so I really don't want to be. And so happy that I found someone who is able to cure me, that I really don't want to cure by myself. But I have the opinion that maybe our nutritional path is a halfway between keto and RUD diet. So you have to stay on ketosis, because ketosis is so important to us to become a fat burner machine that we are totally aren't. But also we have to stay focused on anti-inflammatory nutritional things.
Yeah, so when you mentioned, what did you call it? RAD diet?
Yes, the rare adipose disorders diet. That is something,
right?
That is the first. Maybe we have now some publications about RAD diet, RID diets, because we have just two publications about this so far that is going to be considered suitable for lipedema and also for lymphedema. But we want to stay apart from lymphedema because we want to be a different identity, a different medical identity from lymphedema, because we are a different things. One of the biggest problems that lipedema patients have is the confusion with lymphedema. We can have something in common, but we also have something in common with obesity, because there are two comorbidities that come with lipedema very, very often, but they are different. So the most important thing, that maybe lipedema is most frequently associated with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome rather than lymphedema.
Yeah,
because
the hypermobility.
Yes, yeah. I am a hypermobility. I am a hypermobile patient. And the hypermobility is the thing that causes much pain. Because, you know, when you speak to lipedema patients, you have people, they have a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. The patients with hypermobility are the ones who are experiencing the most important and the most severe pain in their legs and in their arms and in their butts. So in my opinion, as for the nutrition part, an high-fat keto with anti-inflammatory foods is our way, maybe. In Italy, we have a lot of nutritionists and dietitians that are keen on keto, but they tend to apply on us the nutritional protocols for obese patients. So they are very, very strict in calories. They do the very low calories ketogenic diets, maybe sometimes with food surrogate and processed foods and so on. This is not something that is good for us, because we should eat real food. I wanted, for example, Mandy and other lipedema patients who were going on keto, I wanted them in our Lipedema Italian Congress, because Italian doctors and dietitians didn't believe that eating a high-fat diet for a person who is overweight is good. because they simply say the reasoning that you put fat on other fat. How can you lose weight with fat if you're still fat? And so fat. Mm. They just want to treat us as obese with this very extreme low-calorie diets lasting for 21 days and with some processed foods. But when we start telling we don't want to eat surrogates, we want real food, we want to enjoy food, we want to stay, and we are accused, you don't want to stay on a diet. And when we say, look at Mandy's stories, look at other people's stories that manage to lose a lot of weight and manage to manage their lipedema symptoms with pain and distress. Of course, they always have lipedema on their bodies. But if the lipedema evolution has decreased and the lipedema pain is they don't have pain, the evolution slows down and the swelling of the legs stops, you don't have a problem. You simply have bigger legs and that's it. So keto is a good way to have the lipedema stopping. It not works for everyone, but it's worth to try.
It's me interrupting you once more to tell you about the sponsor of this week's show, Superfat. Did you get your hands on some free cookies? I tried them out in my Facebook group with some other people who had got theirs too. I felt super special because I also had the peanut butter cookies, which are my favourite. The other flavours are snickerdoodle and chocolate chip. The peanut butter cookies should be available soon, and when they are, you can get a 15% discount by using code DAISY at the checkout at superfat.com. You will know by now, after listening to me waxing lyrical about them, that Superfat also sells delicious nut butters in handy, squeezable, resealable pouches. There are 6 flavours to choose from, including nitro coffee, cacao coconut, and macadamia coconut. Well, why not try 5 of them by going for a variety pack? The 6th flavour, cacao mint, is a limited edition, so it's not in the pack. All the flavours pack a real punch. The ones that have sweetener in them are just sweet enough without being oversweet like so many keto products out there. The cookies are the same. They also have a nice texture, not crumbly, but sort of like an oat cake, as someone in my Facebook group said. And the 3 flavours are all yummy. I really like peanut butter, so that was always going to be my favourite. Why don't you order some and tell me what you think? Remember, use code DAISY to get 15% off. Thank you for taking the time out to hear about this week's sponsor. It really helps me make more episodes and keep this podcast up and running. I'm very picky, though, about who I partner with, because it's important to me to only share products that I really like myself and that I think you will enjoy too. Thanks to Superfat for partnering with me again and supporting this podcast. Now, let's get back to Valeria and find out more about her keto. It's really going back to part of the essence of being Italian, really. You've touched on it already, and we've spoken other times that food is really important to Italians, and the food they eat, the quality, the sharing of food with friends and family. I don't know if you've heard of the Pioppi diet, a book written by Asim Malhotra and Donald O'Neill, I want to say, is the co-author. I might have that wrong. And Pioppi, of course, you must know Pioppi.
Yes.
it's a place in Italy, and they went there to explore basically why the people live so long.
Yes.
This place, Pioppi, is full of very old, healthy people, and they wanted to explore why. And so they went there and they looked at what they were eating, so, you know, their diet, but also their lifestyle. And the big takeaways from that were that they were basically eating a Mediterranean diet, but it was real whole foods. It wasn't completely keto. There were some typical pasta and breads in there, but not very much. Sweet things were had occasionally as a treat, but hardly at all.
Yes.
But the other important thing, well, a few important things, actually, I would say the 3 things were diet. The other thing was when they ate. A lot of them naturally intermittent fasted.
Yes.
So they would quite often skip breakfast and just be eating 2 meals a day. So they'd have that extended overnight fast, And the other thing a lot of them were doing were moving a lot. So they were out chopping wood. They were out doing physical things quite a lot.
Yes.
And I keep adding more things to it. But the other thing was the community and the sociability and being part of this community. So all these things that were really important but seem very Italian as well. So to have these nutritionists telling you should be eating processed foods and these food supplements, it's all going so far away from what is really innately Italian. So I would hope anyway that when you start showing them these people that look, they're doing well, they're improving their lipedema by eating these real foods, I would hope anyway that something, that Italian part of their brain kicked in and they could get excited about it.
Definitely, because speaking of POP, when the American biologist, who I don't remember the name actually, who studied POP, in POP he found the credo of Mediterranean diet. But this diet maybe is, as you were saying, so different from the Mediterranean diet we can do it now, because we don't work in the fields. We work at our desks in front of our computers, and so we don't have the possibility to consume all of these carbohydrates we eat every day. Mm-hmm. And so this is something far from lipedema, because a lipedema affected person has to stay away from carbohydrates because his body is sick, her body, because we are all female, her body is sick and is not able to digest properly all the carbs. A normal person, now, Mediterranean diet could be fine under certain circumstances that are not the circumstances in which we live now.
Yes, that's the problem, isn't it? Of course, it was Ansel Keys, ironically, who had his research centre in POP. Ansel Keys has become synonymous with anti-fat. And that was, yes, I'd completely forgotten that. That was one of the funny things about that. And they went there. But yes, you can quite easily sort of go to the ketogenic end of the Mediterranean diet. But all you're talking about there really is real whole foods. If you take out all the processed stuff, if you take out the processed grains and things,
yes,
you've got a pretty healthy diet there.
In Italy, we have some pioneer doctors who use keto, high-fat keto, to treat some conditions, neurological conditions, for example, headache and something like this. they split up between two people doing high-fat keto for pathology and people who are doing weight loss keto with very, very low calories and products and processing. They are two different schools, and we don't have one single dietitian who is going to see the keto warrior approach. Because when we started speaking about, okay, we know from the keto coaches from abroad, and they also have nutritional professionals, they are not only patients, we know from these people that there is this approach with a high-fat diet, keto diet, we can manage some lipedema symptoms, including weight loss. So they are not going to apply this approach to lipedema patients because they see us as too fat to have, because you have the caloric restriction every time. And it's coming now, it's coming out that our problem also in the ketogenetic approach was the weight regaining after a very, very low calorie diet. Because we are like, how do you say in English, the thing in which you put money, the thing with a little hole
A piggy bank.
Yes, this one. Sorry. I couldn't. We are like this, full of fat, that you can put the money and the fat in and is not able to come out after, despite dieting. And so we should avoid any weight gainings. But every weight gainings is also after a very, very strict diet, also low in calories. You can't keep up all your life at 700 calories or eating powders and shakes and whatever, or eating supplements, because we are people, we want to eat food. And I don't want to be accused, I want to eat bacon because I'm vegetarian and I don't like it, but I was accused and I tasted it. It is delicious.
So it's that fluctuation that's really damaging. I mean, actually,
yes,
you know, yo-yo dieting is damaging for everybody. But for people who have lipedema, what you're saying is that it has even more of an impact.
Because they say you can't do it. Because, of course, if you do the low-calorie diet, you can do it for more than 1 month or two, maybe. They don't understand the keto way of eating that is a way of living. They could eat like this all their lives without any problems.
I think it was Rayanne, actually, who made an important point. Might have been Mendy. I can't remember which one. I think it was Rayanne who made the point that actually, and this is, I know you were saying that there's this difference, there's this getting confused with lipedema and lymphedema, that there is that confusion. But she was talking about how the lymphatic system is still is very important for lipedema, and how for the lymphatic system to work well, it actually needs fat.
Yes.
It needs the fat. Going through it, it really helps, because she was actually bringing up this point with, I think, with taking MCTs, that actually taking MCTs wasn't necessarily beneficial, because it bypassed the system that it actually needs to go through to really help the lymphatic system function well.
Yes.
So you need that fat. So the point of them trying to get you to do
I get it.
Low fat, low calorie keto is really the worst thing you can do. I mean, it's the worst thing for anybody, really, quite frankly. But
in our Italian Congress, we had a 30-minute video from Catherine CEO, from Mendy, from Leslie Keith and other people. I want to mention everyone. But they tried to explain the keto way philosophy from the point of view of the nutritionist, from the point of view of the lymphatic therapist, from the point of view of the patient. And they were looked at, okay, blah, 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 but they're not doctors. The attitude was, okay, but they're not doctors. We are doctors, and we say that if you eat fat, you will become fat. And we can't move from this, maybe with the time when we have, I think a big help will come when we'll have scientific papers about ketogenetic way of eating. This is so important, because fortunately in the States, we have a lot of doctors who are seeing the results. Maybe now, when we will have the keto way on PubMed, everything will sort it out for the best.
Well, I think once they're flooded with enough case studies that show, look, this works, when they're flooded with enough pictures like the one you sent me of the difference it made to you, they've got enough of those that will get enough doctors to start changing. And then, like you say, it's this avalanche effect for where one thing will lead to another. And then, yes, once you get the actual studies going and the papers that have the accreditation, I suppose, that pleases them, then it will have a much wider impact. But yes, it must be very frustrating trying to get it through to them.
Definitely.
But it sounds like that's what you're doing, and that's obviously the impact you're having if you're getting more people diagnosed and more people helping. And there is nothing ultimately stopping people doing what you did and just taking it upon themselves to change their own diet. And I think actually there's probably a lot of people who are happy to do that in your community, because they've been disbelieved for so long when they've been doing everything that they were told to do, and they've been doing everything right, and they're still accused of not following the plan they've been told too. I should imagine they're a bit more up for self-experimentation and just saying, well, you know, to hell with you, we're going to do it this way. We've seen the results. Yeah. We've seen people like us who have done very well eating ketogenically. So that's good enough for us. And that's what we're going to do. Thank you very much.
Yes, fantastic. Before, when you were speaking, I didn't interrupt you, but you were saying, when we were speaking about my husband, that you told me that I was lucky that I had a very supportive husband for me. And we have to do a lot of support to women who don't have any supporting relatives.
Right, yes.
And also, they don't help them in eating keto, because they're accused also at home, because if you eat a very big... if you eat pasta, if you eat vegetables, if you say, oh, no one is gaining weight for eating tomatoes because they are vegetables, but they are carbs. And so there is ignorance is spread out everywhere in this field. And so convincing someone that lives in the same house that eating cheese, maybe eating good cheese, is better than eating an apple is hard, because maybe my body can't deal with the apple. I can't deal with cheese, maybe. And so it's hard. We try to support, when we support patients, we try to support also their families. When we say educating doctors, educating health professional, and supporting families, we mean exactly this, because if you don't have any help at home, it's hard to follow a very strict regime like keto, especially because keto is a peculiar nutritional plan. And so it's advisable that you follow it with a professional advice and not to do it by your own, because you can have some other medical conditions, not counting mine, because I had my was a personal war with my oncologist, because some of my oncologists were totally, they really didn't want me to go on keto. My main oncologist said, go on keto now. Because now I'm saying something personal about my medical condition. I don't have both the ovaries, but I sometimes still bleed in my uterus because of the biggest amount of fat I have in my body. It causes me to have menstruation. And when you see the histological of my cancer, it is 98% responsive to estrogen. I have it written on my medical records and medical papers.
Right.
So fortunately, I have a doctor who is saying me, despite not knowing exactly what lipedema was, he was reasoning about this, go on keto and remove everything you can from this sick and diseased fat from your body, because it keeps you sick and it is morbidian for my next cancer recurrency. So I really need to go on with my surgical path and keto, especially I had 5 surgeries planned in the next months. Yeah. I was supposed to have I had my arms done in the first part last year, and I was supposed to have arms part 2, because my arms were so disfigured that one surgery was not enough. And so I had to have 2, and I had to start my surgery in the legs, and I feel so desperate. The coronavirus stopped my dream of starting treating the legs. I tried everything I can, and I'm not responsive to anything in my legs. And so lipedema surgery is the only chance I have to have my mobility back.
And you were saying it's one of the reasons why you're so desperate to get back outside is you do need to move around. It's actually very important for you to go on walks to increase your mobility. I mean, tell us a bit about the impact that keto has. Presumably, it's had a positive impact on your condition, not enough that you don't still need other interventions, but it's obviously had a positive impact.
It reduces pain. It reduces pain in the affected areas because our fat is nodular. It's nodular and it could be painful when touched, and it also has spontaneous pain. Generally, it reduces the swelling, because this is a kind of compression pain. I can explain better, because it's a so peculiar pain. It pushes on nerves.
Right.
Because the fat cells are bigger and there are more. I don't believe the fat cells just become, because we have hypertrophy and hyperplastic. So I'm not a doctor, so I'm sorry if I don't translate the medical terms properly in English, but in Italian it would be easier to explain. But maybe keto has an effect on the volume of the fat cells, not only because the number is this one. You can't have less number. The number of cells that are more, you can remove them only by surgery. Mm-hmm. But maybe keto resolves these problems and keeps the inflammation down. And so you don't feel that pain. And this is an immediate effect you have. But as soon as you go out from keto, the pain comes back exactly where it was. So I believe that the best thing to do is we promote an integrated approach to lipedema, which is nutritional, which is surgical and conservative, because the goals are nutrition, surgery, and compression. With all the three things, you can manage lipedema as a person who has not a diseased fat on their body. Of course, it depends on the stages, because I'm a stage three. You know, there are three stages of lipedema plus a fourth one, which is lipedema with lymphedema. And I'm a stage three, and advanced lipedema is a big pain.
You do have some mobility back then. Keto has helped get you some mobility back.
Yes, considering that I started my surgical path in the arms because they were the most painful area of my body, and I was not able to move the left arm. And when I started keto, I managed to, because I was not authorized by the anesthesiologist to go on surgery. And this was my decision to start keto. Okay, I can't have surgery. I can't afford surgery because surgeries are so expensive, because I didn't mention the fact that we have everything about lipedema cures is in every lipedema treatment is all on us. Right. We don't have any support from our state because to cure lipedema. So I started, I can't have surgery. What can I do? What can I do? And I went on keto. It was something so spontaneous. I read it and I started. And I immediately started to move my arm again. My left arm was totally impaired. I was not able to move them. It was so painful. And I managed 2 years and a half, maybe, with the effects of this. And then I lost it. But just soon after I lost, I spent 5 months in between the coming back of the pains and the starting of the surgical path. Everything is effective. Surgery is amazing from this point of view, because the post-surgical treatments are very engaging, and also recovery is very, very hard to stand. Mm-hmm. The lipedema pain gets off immediately. You immediately feel that it's good. I believe that with the right combination of keto and surgery, and compression and the right compression, we can manage lipedema and to have the same life of a person who is not affected. That is the main goal that we have. And keto is the most important thing to do among them. Not discarding the other two, simply because everything can do keto. Everyone can enjoy keto, because maybe it's not particularly in my personal tastes, because I like fruit and vegetables and I prefer fruit and vegetables rather than meat or fish. No, I like fish actually, but a lot of people can eat like this and be happy and stay healthy and manage lipedema. This is so important. Sometimes it doesn't work, but it's rare. Anecdotally, I never heard people going on keto with lipedema and have no effect at all.
Yes, you would imagine it would at least have some kind of impact, even if it's in varying degrees, person to person.
We have some cases, but I'm not sure they followed the keto properly. We have some cases in people. It's something not everyone can do. I'm not judging people because I'm not wanting to be judgmental. I believe that no one has to be judged for what he eats, never. Because what is on your plate is not a fault, it's just simply, it's only nutrition, that's it. It's only food, no process, no trials, no punishment for this. We can't call Dostoevsky every time we eat something.
And how have you found it during this time? How easy has it been to go out and get the food that you need to eat? I don't know what it's like locally to you. I know some people have had problems with availability of the kind of fresh foods that we eat.
Yes, definitely. Because, of course, for example, if you want an avocado, now we are all in lockdown and it's something we don't grow with in Italy. Maybe in some parts of Sicily we have some. And so it's harder to have some products. But if you want, you can manage, because you have frozen foods. We have a lot of companies that do good freezing food with vegetables, with meat, with fish. And so you can eat this in this moment. Of course, fresh foods in this moment are a problem, because you go out with COVID now, you go out for shopping once every couple of weeks. And so you can't find maybe fresh vegetables or fresh fish or fresh things in the supermarket. You have to adapt. But if this is your style of living, this is your way of living, you manage to, because you always find some macadamia nuts or some cheese, or if you follow this. I have a ton of friends on keto and they are doing quite well despite the problems for suppliers to have fresh foods, because, you know, this situation could last for a lot of months, actually.
Yes, I think it depends where you are. I know a lot of areas, it's things like the dried pasta and rice and things that are going off the shelves. So it's I don't have a problem with that. Someone mentioned it. I saw it on a wall of one of my friends that's got nothing to do with keto. And I thought, well, actually, I have no idea whether the pasta and rice shelves are empty or full. So I actually went to have a look next time I went shopping, because it's not something I'd know, because I don't even go to that area. Certainly here, it's been easy enough to get all the kind of things I eat. But I know it's been difficult in some places, especially in the States. I've seen a lot of posts of things. People haven't been able to get eggs. They haven't been able to get butter. They haven't been able to get the typical sort of fresh staples that they're used to having. So like you say, some of us have really got to adapt at this time, a little bit outside our comfort zones maybe, but possible.
My friends in keto told me, for example, they had, when they started finding empty shelves, the one of with the almond flour was not emptied at all because so they didn't have problems in having supplies. But maybe the only problem in this moment is to have fresh food and fresh vegetables, and you can miss in the first place. If you know that if you stop keto, the pain comes back, you manage to go on, whatever it costs.
Yes, you have a very real reminder about what happens. That's kind of helpful in a way, I guess.
I was thinking on starting keto again, because doing keto is not advisable when you have surgeries, because it's not advisable to go in the OR when you are on ketosis, in a state of ketosis. So surgeries, surgeons ask us to stop keto 1 month before the surgery and to take it again 1 month after the surgery.
I must confess, I really don't understand the reasoning of that. I have heard that in some places. It doesn't seem to be everywhere. But yes, I have heard some people saying that. And to be honest, I don't understand the logic of that at all, because it would seem to me that going into a surgery, being reliably in ketosis, would be the perfect way to go into surgery.
I asked a lot of doctors their opinion about this, because we had a lot of patients that were complaining to stop their keto just before the surgeries. Because surgery is something very, very stressful. If you make a revolution also in the eating habits of the patient, having pain, having all the problems, having, it's not something that a patient is keen on with. And so when I asked a lot of doctors, I was not able to have a real motivation about this. And the idea that came up to my mind to justify something like this is there is no literature. They have no experiments. Mm. They have not enough patients having surgeries while in ketosis, and so they don't want to risk. They don't want to take the risk. This is understandable. I can understand this.
It is, but it very much also isn't, because the idea of, so if you have someone who's been doing keto for a while, in my mind anyway, perfectly prepared for an operation, they're in the best place they can be health-wise, to then ask them to stop a month before and presumably up their carb content, which is what they're looking at to get them out of ketosis, that's going to mean bringing back levels of inflammation that are very uncomfortable. It's going to mean all sorts of things. And that seems to be the worst possible thing you can do going into a traumatic procedure. But I know it's very difficult arguing with the establishment on that, but it seems completely illogical from my point of view. It's not something that came up, certainly when I had my bariatric surgery, there was nothing in preparation. But I know in a lot of places they put you on usually not a very healthy diet, but effectively one that will put you into ketosis. It's all about shrinking your liver down. It's usually a very low calorie diet. Some people just have milk. Some people are put on shakes, all sorts of things. They didn't do anything with me. I have a feeling they might have tested and seen that my liver was in a decent state in the first place, so they didn't need to. But so you have a quite invasive surgery, and they're actually they're going to be putting you into ketosis before they will do the surgery, that kind of surgery. So it's just this complete mismatch. And I think you're right, it's just a lack of understanding of what is actually going on in the body that scares them.
I know we are not doctors, so we can just make predictions. And I know that in obesity surgery, they want the patient to go on ketosis because to treat the liver, the fat liver syndrome, because the liver is lifted during the bariatric surgery to reach the stomach when you have laparoscopy. This is the reason why having steatosis in the liver can cause problem in the specific bariatric procedure. That's what I know. But I don't know why they don't want us to go on keto also for other procedures. There is a big scientific debate also for keto in oncologic patients, because generally we are kindly advised to avoid animal proteins, generally speaking.
Mm.
When you are on chemo and when you are in a very active cancer phase, your body decides. Your body decides what you eat. In my last chemo, I was able to eat only apples, nuts, and a couple of kind of cheese. Then that's it. And blackcurrant syrup. That's it. I was not able to eat anything else because everything different you eat. And I was able to eat baked potatoes and steamed potatoes, and that's it. For example, I love mushrooms. I was not able even to feel the smell of mushrooms during that period. And so when you are in prison because you have the cancer alien to kick out, you don't decide. But after, you can.
Mm.
And I don't see the point when I say to my doctor, put me on keto because I feel better. I feel better because in this moment I have a lot of chemo medicines still in the fat. They are still in the fat, and so you keep them, especially when you have a lot of fat. So put me on keto, and maybe I spend months and months in screaming for the pain because of Taxol and other chemo medicines I used to take. And I thought that if I was authorized to do my chemo on keto, sorry for the gameplay, it was maybe the best thing to manage pain. And pain is very, very huge during chemo. And so keto would have been a good way. I don't know if I could stand it because animal proteins are hard to digest in peculiar situation. But it's worth it to try. But the only thing is to find a doctor who is keen on with this.
Mm.
And when you have cancer, you can do things without being authorized by your doctor.
Yes, very different game you're playing. Well, I sincerely hope things start improving for you specifically and locally to you and more globally for Italy. I know you've been going through a very, very bad time. You've had the eyes of the world on you. I did hear on the news that they're saying that it's peaking. They do think that you're at the peak now.
Yes.
And I sincerely hope that's true. I don't know what the feeling is amongst you who are going through it. Do you think that could be the case?
I really don't know if this is still the peak or not, because we have some decrease in the cases of contagious people, but we still have 700 people a day dying. And this is not considered a decrease on the infection, because I think that if abroad they will follow the example of China rather than ours, the infection will be less spread than that was. Because I don't know what happened in Italy, what happened before they started, because we have a lot of doctors dying now.
Mm.
They call them heroes, but they need to be protected from the COVID. And they aren't, because we were not prepared to this emergency. We didn't have enough masks. Now we have Armani and Valentino and famous Italian stylists. They are producing masks and protective vests for nurses and doctors. We are the only, we have haute couture.
The best dressed, yes. Best dressed nurses and doctors on the planet.
Yes, because we have Italian perfumers. I don't remember if it is Trussardi or some other very famous Italian stylist that are doing also they are using the spirits they use in the Italian perfume to make the gel.
Ah, the sanitizer.
Yes, this one. So we are.
Yes, I saw actually a distillery. I think it was a Scottish distillery that was doing the same thing. They were repurposing their equipment.
Yeah, so we have very branded and haute couture marked, but we were totally unprepared for this.
Yeah.
Totally unprepared. We didn't have enough doctors. We didn't have enough ICU. We didn't have enough nurses. And so we didn't have enough, enough coffins because people now are burned. And this is not part of our culture. Mm. I'm good with this, but in the Catholic religion, you don't burn people.
Right.
You bury them. So in this moment, we can't bury people. So you are going against a big taboo in our culture. There is cremation rather than burial. But they don't have enough space in cemeteries.
Well, no, literally comes down to the practicalities, yeah.
Yes, imagine how it is in a very, very small town near Milan that is in the country, that is with a lot of old people that are, they are all dead now. And so they are unprepared, totally unprepared to this so big amount of dying people. I see them, they're moving the bodies from Lombardia to other Italian regions that are less full up than this one. And also they took on other patients from abroad. I saw in the last news that Germany took 10 patients of us in the ICQ, but we have a lot of people in recovery. And the most dramatic thing, I think, that we have people dying at home with no cure and no treatment at all. And so the numbers are fairly higher than what we can count, because what we can count is people that have the test done. So you're sure, you're very sure that they died of coronavirus, but all the other people dying at home with no test, they are all victims of coronavirus. So every number you hear in the news, you have to double, at least to double it, because we don't have enough money to have the test. And the most, when the medical crisis will be over, we will have a devastating economic crisis that we are going to deal with one way or another, because I'm very worried about people who don't have any stable jobs, that are not working now, and a lot of small companies that this month were able to pay their workers, but next month they won't be. This will be the most important thing when we're the first thing to deal with soon after we manage to deal with people dying every day. And we hope, we truly hope. And maybe I don't know how to pray, but I started, because if we are in the hands of God, I truly hope that God looks at us and stops this, because maybe this is the worst thing that could happen to people, dying alone, wrapped in plastic, without the comfort of your relatives. You can say goodbye. And when someone dies, I believe that learning to say goodbyes is the most important thing to go on after, and to start a living again after death. And so if you can't say goodbye, you remain stuck in a parallel universe.
Yes, absolutely. You don't have the resolution, do you? I watched John Campbell on YouTube. He does a daily roundup and some extra videos. And he was speaking, yes, of the tragedy that you mentioned, that a lot of people were dying at home. But he was saying that a lot of elderly people in particular who needed to go to the hospital but were purposefully deciding to stay at home, because for those reasons they didn't want to die in a hospital, basically. And yeah, I mean, to be faced with these kind of decisions from that perspective for the people, the medical people who are being forced to make decisions, unimaginable decisions. It's a terrible thing. So, yeah, I mean, I really hope that you're at the worst of it. Yeah. Everyone talks about reaching the peak. You talk about reaching the peak. Everyone wants to get to the peak so we get to the other side. But like you're saying, what you have to remember is that this high number of people are still dying every day.
Yes.
And they're going to continue doing that while you're at the peak. And they're going to continue doing that as you're coming off the peak as well. So sadly, it's not a case of reaching the peak and then everything's okay. There's a tail to follow after that.
Yes.
I really hope you're at the worst of it and things are going to start getting better.
We realized how bad it was when young people started dying.
Mm.
Maybe a couple of weeks ago, they were saying just something that only people with progressive disease die for, or elderly people, not I'm one of with progressive disease, and so I don't think that if one of us is dying is less than a healthy young person dying. But I can perceive the impact of having a 30-year-old healthy man dying of coronavirus now, because it gives you the right perception of what it is.
Mm.
This is something that if you caught it very, very badly, no matter how old you are, no matter how diseased you are, because of course, if you have cancer, if you have diabetes, or if you have any other kind of chronic condition, you're mostly exposed because your body is simply less strong than the others. But when this comes to your lungs, it can be devastating for people's lungs. So you have 25-year-old people in intensive care, struggling and fighting for life. And I don't know, it's so weird to see all of this and to stay here and doing nothing, because you only can stay here and stay home, because if you stay home, you give your contribution to all the cause. You can do any other things apart from staying home and watch the TV and see, okay, let me see how many people die today. And it's hard to stand. But we truly hope we're going to have another new life after this. And maybe this is something that changes people for good and forever, because we will never, never, ever come back for what they were before. Because I have a perception in this that we all human beings are the virus and the planet. Since when we are at home, the planet is better, because we look at the pollution. Look at the pollution you can see from the satellite images. Maybe something, this is a message for us, for all of us, that maybe something is wrong with us and we have to change. We have to change from their very essence, to start thinking things in a different way, the way we talk to each other. Because now, after months that we can say, of course, we have the internet, we have the possibility to speak each other, but you can maybe appreciate the value of a kiss, of an embrace, or a physical gesture of affection, unless you can't do it anymore.
Mm.
So I really want to, the first thing I want to do is go, after the emergencies, go to my mom and give a big hug to her, because I know that this time I will hug her. My hug will be different from the all other hugs I gave to my mom in 42 years. This is different.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, there's a lot to think about there, isn't there? A lot to think about going forwards when we come through this. It's very sobering. We're going to put links and other information in the show notes. And we'll get together after this and put together anything that you think might help that people can go there and find. And I usually wrap up the podcast with a top tip. So I wonder if you can think of a top tip for us.
I haven't prepared it yet because I really wanted a top tip, a spontaneous top tip.
That's good. Comes from the heart.
In my heart now, there is only one thing. Stay home, stay safe, and give all the gestures and give your loved ones a hug and a kiss as soon as you can. Because now you will appreciate it differently. Use the virus to become a better person. This is the only thing that we could do. And this is the only advice. I could speak about cancer, lipedema, and obesity, and whatever we can talk. Now the virus is our own commander now, and we have to overcome it. Because I believe that if we stay safe at home, it will blow over very, very soon. I hope so. So stay home. Stay safe.
Yes, I hope so too. And I think I can probably add from my listeners to my own wishing you all the best.
Thank you.
And I hope that that is the case and that you and Italy are very much better soon, as soon as possible. Thank you so much, Valeria, for sharing your time with me today. It's been a great pleasure. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Daisy. Thank you very much for this opportunity. Thank you.
To get the resources and links from this show, please go to ketowomanpodcast.com/episodes. Please share this podcast with as many people as possible by sharing one of my links or just taking a screenshot of an episode that you enjoyed. Reviews really help raise the profile of the podcast, which gets it in front of more people, but also helps me attract a wide variety of guests. So please take a minute to leave a review on whichever podcast app or platform you like to listen on. It doesn't go unnoticed by me, the people who regularly like, share, and comment on my posts. Your support really does mean the world to me. Thank you. Are you enjoying this podcast? Help me make more episodes and videos by making a pledge at my Patreon page, patreon.com/ketowomen, or simply hit the support button on the Keto Woman podcast website. Don't forget to join in the fun on the Keto Woman podcast Instagram and Facebook pages and Daisy_ketowomen on Twitter. Are you my next extraordinary woman? Maybe you've got an idea for a show, a topic you would like to hear about. Let me know how I can tickle your earbuds by dropping me a line at daisy@ketowomanpodcast.com. This week's end quote is from Gilda Radner via Becky Cordell. Thanks, Becky. I wanted a perfect ending. Now I've learned the hard way that some poems don't rhyme and some stories don't have a clear beginning, middle, and end. Life is about not knowing, having to change, taking the moment and making the best of it without knowing what's going to happen next. Bye-bye, keto lovelies.